How did you first get into politics?
Probably actually when I was at school. So when I was at school, I was on the student council and those sorts of things as a class representative. And at that stage, you're talking about things like, you know, types of uniform and what you should do your fundraising on and what you should spend fundraising on as well. And then through high school, was involved with some interest in our school board of trustees. And then eventually I ended up being elected to the school board of trustees as a staff trustee, and then spent 10 years on the city council in Palmerston North. The last 4 years of that was as the city's deputy mayor, and then entered parliament here at the 2020 general election.
How has the experience been working here in parliament overall?
Yeah, it's a fascinating place because the days here are really long, and most days that we are here, we sit through till 10 o'clock at night. So you basically are here from first thing in the morning right throughout the day through till 10 o'clock at night. And I enjoy walking around this place because it demonstrates and shows quite a lot of change over the years from the people that are hanging on the portraits on the walls. Tend to, in the early days, be mainly men, mainly white men, mainly white old men, who have facial hair as well. So, yeah, it's an interesting place, but it's very much a privilege as well, being able to represent my community of Palmerston North, where I was born, and it's the city that I represent here in Parliament with the Labour Party. And every day is very much a privilege and an honour to be here and represent my community.
At this moment, do you think our government has progressed towards equality for the LGBTQ plus community?
I think we're in a situation where, or a position where, the government has made huge steps in that direction. There is always an argument that government could do more, but I reflect on, you know, the last 5 years under a Labor-led government, and in more recent times as a Labor government, with the support of the Greens. And reflect on the changes that have been made, and certainly the people that I talk to, those changes have made a huge difference. So each step along the journey is a step closer towards meeting community needs, but I'm really proud of the record of this government and what we've been able to deliver for our rainbow communities.
Do you have sort of a future vision for Takatāpui people of our country?
My vision is probably aligned with the expectation of others, which is, you know, I want Aotearoa New Zealand to be a place where everyone feels included, where everyone feels as though they belong here, and that the government, those decision makers, are representative of them. We currently have a parliament which is, you know, it was touted as the gayest in the world, in the sense that the largest number of rainbow members of parliament. And if I reflect on just 6 years, 9 years ago, quite a different space. So, yeah, we are heading in the right direction. I'm really proud of that.
Mm. Being in government with the most queer political figures, how does it feel for you personally to be amongst one of them?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. We have a really strong rainbow caucus here in Labor, as part of the parliamentary wing. And, you know, what I love about our caucus team is that, everyone comes to the table, has a conversation, can help out where they can offer suggestions where they can. And that's just a fantastic thing. It's just like my approach to being a member of the Pacific Caucus as well. You know, we come to the table, we bring our thoughts, our ideas, we represent our communities. And to be part of a team that is making huge change is something particularly special.
So, what can queer people do to support queer politicians?
I think it's about understanding and being engaged with the community. You know, we hear as politicians from a number of people in our community, and I really encourage people to reach out to politicians, to give them feedback, to give them encouragement, to hold them accountable. But we need to do that in a lawful way and that respects people as well. And so, you know, when I reflect on my own local community, I try and go out there engage with my community as much as I can. Really proud of our Malgra community, which is the Manawatu Association for Gay and Lesbian Rights, which is the oldest association in the country. And so, you know, for me, it's about ensuring that our community, and use it in a very broad term, whether it's our rainbow community, whether it's our Māori, Pacifica, ethnic, rural, urban, provincial, whatever, that they feel as though they can go along and have conversations. And, you know, this is a government that has been focused on delivering for rainbow communities. I've talked about the fact that I'm really proud of that. Other members in our caucus are extremely proud of that fact as well. And so it's about being able to support Te Tautoko and I guess also to celebrate those wins along the way.
Do you have any gay or queer heroes?
A little bit of a fan of RuPaul in the sense of, you know, Drag Race. There's a real connection there to Palmerston North as well. But I think we have so many individuals, even when I think in our own Rainbow Caucus here, you know, Shannon Halbert, who's the chair of our Rainbow Caucus, Tamati Coffey, who's been with the caucus for quite some time. I'm obviously relatively new as a new member of parliament. But those that are leading the way and are shining the torch, for others to follow, I think is a fantastic thing. And what we've seen with, RuPaul over many years is, you know, it could be described previously as a bit of a niche opportunity that some might watch, what's on offer, whereas now, you know, you can go into workplaces, into staff rooms, into coffee rooms and have conversations about RuPaul and what's on offer there, and I think that's fantastic.
Do you think there's more we can do to support trans and non-binary people in our country?
I think we need to continue to be open to the conversation, and we need to continue to be quite open in our ability to share and understand. You know, a lot of the work that's done out there is fantastic work, but it's only really appreciated when there's elements of understanding in that. And so, you know, I think certainly with the Rainbow Caucus, as a member of that, I don't profess to know absolutely everything, but I know that the caucus itself is really open to hear from members of our community. And so you can only do something about something if you know about it. And so that's why being able to be open communicators, to be receptive to feedback, to get out and meet with communities is so important. And I reflect on in the last, you know, few weeks where we had a Rainbow Caucus visit to the Taranaki hosted by our colleague Glenn Bennett, who's the local member of parliament there. And being able to meet with the local tertiary institute, being able to meet with Inside Out, another rainbow organisation as well, being able to meet with the local police to talk about the work that they're doing to make sure that their communities are really safe. Getting out in communities like Taranaki is one way, one example that demonstrates that we're open to listen and to have dialogue, to have communication with key partners, because if you don't have that, then there's huge misunderstandings. And so for me, it's about ensuring that those conversations are continuing to happen all around the motu.
Mm. Do you have a certain personal approach on fighting for or fixing inequality?
I'm really keen to ensure that that issue of equity and equality is often front and centre of everything that we do. One of the core values that attracted me to the Labour Party quite some time ago as a young lad was the issue, well, the value of equality but also social justice. And so I often see that those two go hand in hand. And so for me, I reflect on being someone who grew up in a community where my Pacifica identity has grown and grown and grown. And there are lots of similarities with members of our rainbow community as well. The way in which they have experienced treatment by members of the community is no different to some of our other communities. I think about Dawn Raids, you know, back in the late 70s, the impact that that has had on Pacific communities. And so for me, you know, I think about my parents, and particularly my father, who was born in the Cook Islands, who came here to New Zealand, a different land or community where he didn't speak English. He was, his experience was very, very different. That's in many situations quite similar to members of our rainbow community. And so for me, it's always about having that at the back of my mind, thinking of, you know, my family and the experience that they've had as well.
Hmm. What's your own personal experience with sort of coming to terms with your own identity while growing up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I reflect on when I had told my parents that I was gay, and I was about 20, I think, thereabouts. Yeah, it was 20. And so, you know, we'd come from a background where our upbringing was in the church. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, some members of my family perhaps didn't struggle with that, but they certainly perhaps for themselves found it a little bit difficult. I'd like to think that sometime on now those views have changed, and they openly share that the views that they, some of them had at that time was views that they wouldn't have today. But I've always actually been one who has just got on, and if people have an issue with my identity, whether that's around sexual orientation, age, whether I live in Palmerston North, whether I'm of Pacifica or Cook Island heritage or descent, it's not really bothered me. It's not been something that has specifically identified who I am. If people have had an issue with that, that's more about them than anything about me. And that's always been my sort of guiding light in the way that I've approached things, and people have either respected that, or they've just either had to get over it or move on, because I certainly don't see any point in me wasting my time thinking about how others might perceive me, where I know that I'm very clear in my identity about who I am, what I want to achieve in this world, what being a member of my local community means to me and my whānau. That's always been my approach to my own identity.
Have you ever experienced any sort of treatment change, for good or for worse, here in Parliament, of your identity?
I think certainly being a member of Parliament, as I said earlier, is a privilege. And what I have found around this place is that people have treated me with respect, have encouraged me, have listened to me, and have supported me. I've found my experience, and I can only speak from my own personal experience, of Parliament here, to be one of encouragement and support, particularly from within my own Labour caucus. I've always been one who focuses on what it is I need to do when I'm here and simply get on and do it. And so, yeah, mine has been a personal experience of support and encouragement.
Do you have any future projects you're working towards for the Rainbow community?
For me, it's, I guess, supporting colleagues wherever I can. This year it was, as I've said, it was wonderful to be able to go to Taranaki to support the work that Glenn Bennett, our local colleague there, is doing on the ground. Back in Palmerston North, obviously supporting the work of Malgra, again, the longest standing gay lesbian rights, as it was then, organisation in the country. Spent some time with Rainbow Caucus members also at Winter Pride down in the South Island a couple of months back. And obviously as we head into next year, there'll be a whole range of different Pride events that I'm keen to support where possible. So for me, I chair the Parliament's Health Select Committee. I'm a government junior whip as well. Those, I guess, to be fair, are where my priorities in terms of time and representing Palmerston North sits with me at the moment. But where I can, I am more than happy to support the work of our Rainbow team, and I'll continue to do that. You know, we get across the line pieces of legislation like the banning of gay conversion therapy because of the sterling work that leaders in our party, that members of our Rainbow Caucus and those that have gone before us have done, and so I'm very happy to continue to support them in that mahi.
Do you have any advice for young queer people of Aotearoa who are struggling a little bit with their own identity?
Yeah, identity I've always seen as a journey, and some people arrive at an identity destination much sooner than others. Some, for whatever reason, take a little bit of time. And I'd like to think that people in our community are able to reflect who they are and are able to do that without being judged or feeling uncomfortable. And so if anything, if you are a young person in Aotearoa, New Zealand, who is struggling with that process, who is someone who is thinking about identity and what that might mean for you in your own circumstances, then my advice is to reach out. You know, government has invested some money in wonderful organisations. There are fantastic organisations in communities all around the country, whether you're in a rural community or not. And my 5 cents worth, I guess, would be to reach out and have a conversation, that you don't have to go through this process or this journey on your own. There are people out there who are more than capable of being a listening ear, who won't tell you what to do, but will certainly guide you on your journey. You shouldn't have to struggle through this. It's not right. And so, yeah, that would be my sort of advice, is to reach out and have a chat, because chances are that, you know, there will be other people in similar circumstances who at some point in time, if they knew that they could reach out a little bit sooner, perhaps their journey might have been a little bit easier. And if that's something that people can experience, then it means you reach your identity destination a little bit earlier or sooner, which is not a bad thing, but we all have to go on our journey in our own way.
Do you have anything to say for parents or caregivers who are raising queer children, and advice for them to be more open-minded about their choices?
Yeah, I think, I reflect on my own parents, who are extremely supportive of me, and I've been with my partner for 18 odd years now, and so they're extremely supportive of him as a member of our family, and likewise, my partner's family are extremely supportive of me as a member of their whānau. And so I think my advice to parents who might be struggling or might have an issue or might feel as though, you know, how could this have happened, is that it's actually nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be frightened about. Parents, I think, want to just love their children, and people need to express who they are, to be comfortable in the identity, because life is far too short. And we all hear about circumstances where, you know, if people felt as though they could come to understand who someone was much sooner, then the heartache and all of that sort of stuff, that negative energy, is just something that people can't deal with or shouldn't have to deal with. And so my advice to, you know, parents or family members, loved ones who perhaps might be struggling with the identity of a whānau member, is to not be afraid, to continue to love that person, and to encourage them to be true to themselves, and, you know, to help them on their identity journey.
What do you think could change in the education system with dealing with queer students, or bullying as well for teachers?
Look, I started out my professional life as a secondary school teacher. So, and a lot of that time was spent as a head of school or a dean dealing with the pastoral side of things. And so, you know, I'd love to see a continuation in our education system where we talk a lot about civics and people being able to understand how systems of government work, how society works, how democratic processes work. That goes hand in hand with understanding what a diverse community is all about. And so what I saw when I left the profession was very much a move from when I started, away from heteronormative sort of approaches, to one that is much more broader and encompassing. So I'd like to see schools teaching as part of their curriculum things that are more reflective of their local community. And I think we're really starting to see that. You know, we're starting to see young people engage with the curriculum in a very different way. When I started teaching, I spent a little bit of time teaching sexuality and sex ed. And I remember we'd have to go and consult with the community all the time and sign off what our curriculum would be. That's much more iterative, much more formative now, where actually that whole process is more organic, where the needs of the local community is very much taken into consideration in terms of what that curriculum, what that offering is going to be. And to be fair to the Ministry of Education and to school boards, I think by and large they have welcomed that with open arms. And that's only a good thing, because when rangatahi are going to school, what they want to be part of is a curriculum, a classroom, a school environment that is appreciative and supportive of who they are or who they might think they might be. And if you're a young person sitting there and you know, all you're being taught about is the only way forward is a straight normative relationship, that's far from ideal for people who are questioning identity or for people who are wanting to perhaps express themselves in a different way. And so I'm delighted that schools have been much more encouraging in that space.